Back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And Ben, Gus Malzahn comes to practice and the offense takes a huge step forward. And it was called an aha moment. Is that related? Is it causation or is it correlation? We got to talk about it. The fans want to know.
I'm just going to tell you right now. Gus showed up along with Cam, and next thing you know, we win a national title. I'm there. I'm all in. I am booging so hard Gus right
showed
now.
Up. Hey, Gus showed up with Nick Marshall, and Auburn yep. went to the national championship.
Yep. I mean, it's – yeah.
That is so funny, by the way. It was funny because, for those that don't know, Auburn had a scrimmage today, and Gus Malzahn was there, which is really cool. And – Ben, I got to be honest, Golish gushes over Gus Malzahn. Like, that's hard to say, by the way.
That's a lot of G's right there. Golish gushes over Gus.
Golish gushes over Gus.
There's your next T-shirt, bub, right there.
Gushing for Gus. Yeah. No, but for real, because it wasn't just like he was there for practice. He was like, what did he say? He said something.
What was his opening statement in the press? Like when he talked after the media, he opened with
will
Gus.
Be a resource. He said, Gus will be a resource. And then he said, I just went and asked him for all his notes notes after the scrimmage. So yeah. It's kind of cool to hear. And then it is funny that this day is when it seems like the offense finally decided to take a step forward and have that what Golish called an aha moment.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. There's so many people talking about it.
We'll get to the quote unquote moment in a minute, but let's stay on the Gus thing for right now, because I'm wondering how some fans will take this, because there were some Gus haters.
Yeah.
I never was a Gus hater. I didn't
define Gus hater.
It seems like now they're eating their words, because they used to say, oh, he's just going to average 8 or 9 wins a year.
Yeah.
And so that was why they were willing to move on. And then you look at these last few years where we ain't getting 5 wins a year, and it's like, okay, well, maybe that wasn't that bad. maybe I shouldn't have been bashing Gus, but let's call it what it is. Gus is known for his offensive mind. I mean, listen, when Saban compliments you, and Saban has complimented Gus numerous times on his brilliance offensively, then you know you're doing a good job. So I love the fact that he just is able to go within the facility. Listen, Kyle, you're getting – when you have somebody like him show up and is sitting over there taking notes, and he's a former head coach, he's former coordinator.
Now, I don't know if he had like a spiral notebook out there taking
notes. No, but
like,
even mental notes. You're talking about, there are people that pay a lot of money for people to show up and give that sort of feedback. And he's here because, as Golish said in the presser, I mean, he just wants to be here. He just wants to be at all. He and Christy moved back. They're living here. Going to be helping raise his grandkids here. And it's one of those deals where if he wants to stick his head in the facility every now and then and say, hey, we can't get this taken care of. Do you see anything? And he says, yeah, maybe you ought to try doing this. Now, I don't want to see anybody squatting down behind the center and hiding any runners. I don't want any of that crap going on.
A little wildcat action.
Yeah. let's get those boys in the wildcat. I don't know about it, but it is good to be able to use him as a consultant to say, hey, you know, are you seeing something that we're not, this is what we're seeing. Are you seeing something different? And if Gus comes in, it may wake him up a little bit. Not to mention, one of Gus's favorites, Cody Burns, is out there. I mean,
that's true.
He wants to see a touchdown pass
in the national championship.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to see Auburn succeed. I mean, Gus says a lot.
If you're Gus, he moved back to Arkansas.
He moved back here.
If you're Gus, do you come back?
No, I think he's got the point. I think his heart clearly is
not. No, I'm not talking about coming back and coaching. I'm saying if you're Gus, do you come back to practice and, you know, make yourself as visible? Like, are you able to put the pettiness aside in the way it was ugly, the way it went down? Are you able to do what Gus is doing and be present in Auburn. I don't know that I could.
Well, yeah, but Kyle, it's a different administration the way he worked under. So maybe these guys have reached out.
Like same fans, though.
So yeah, but he's inside that building. He ain't hearing from the fans. He's only hearing that when he's out. So, you know, he's institutionalized whenever he's in the building. And if Cohen's being nice to him and Golish is clearly reaching out to him and they, as he said in the presser, I mean, he and Christy have volunteered to help them do whatever. So maybe there's a relationship. And heck, I mean, you know, with the coaching, everybody talks about the Saban coaching branches with the Drinkwitz, you know, slash, you know, Gus going to Central Florida and Golish being in that area. I mean, there's so many, it's a fraternity, man, that they have. And they clearly, I mean, think about it. If I moved away and you and I weren't doing any of this show anymore and we bumped each other 10 years from now, you say, hey, come do this. Like people would be like, oh, like, I mean, it's a fraternity of guys that know each other through various entities. So I got no issue with it.
How legitimate do you think it is that this could be a quote unquote resource or something that's going to be recurring? Or was this, you think this was like a one time thing?
Well, I hope it's not too recurring. But now, if you know, we get stuck in the mud doing something and he reaches out to him and says, hey, do you mind taking a look at this and seeing if, is there something that we could do differently or that you see? Having a resource to email him some clips or shoot him a link to say, hey, watch through this real quick. Tell me what you see. I think that's invaluable, man. I think that's great, especially from a guy he ain't doing anything else. He's just raising grandkids, and I noticed his social media eating at Waffle House the other night. Typical Gus behavior, what we were used to seeing.
He's there all the time. Yeah, it's fun. It is. You kind of touched on it earlier, which you said something that makes me want to break out in hives. But you know, I won't address it too much.
Okay.
The whole man, 8 wins or 7 wins sure would be cool right now. Like that's not really where we want to be. But regardless. I don't really know where I was going. I kind of completely
I'm glad you brought that up because I had this discussion with Doug out of Montgomery. I was on his show earlier today, and he said, "Would you be happy with 8 wins?" And I said, "Year one, yes. Does that need to pick up after? Yes." And so, but I did tell him, I said, because there were fans. There was one fan that texted into the show and that fan said, I take 8 wins a heartbeat. And then we had another one's like, that's the problem with Auburn fans. We're stuck on 8. I'm okay with 8 year 1. Now, I think he's got the opportunity to do better than that, which is why he brought Brown with him, because he wanted to an impactful win now type scenario and surrounded himself with people that would help him make successful as far as Golish is concerned. But if you did it, I call it the Walmart test. If you ask 100 Auburn fans outside of Walmart, would you take 8 wins next year? I really think 75% of them would say, yes, I'd take 8 right now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, you would.
And 2 years
three,
from now?
In your three, you know, if it's still there, you're asking some really, really tough questions.
Let me ask you a tough question, because this was asked of me today, and I'll tell you how I answered it after you answer it. But he said, you know, if Doug asked me, if we don't get 8 wins in year one, or do you have the feeling of we're on the right track, or do you have the feeling of, oh, here we go again?
Well, I mean, are we talking about 7 wins? Are we talking about 6 wins?
When the line's still 6.5, is that right? I think.
Yeah.
And so I told, because I said the same, it's funny that you and I kind of think alike, because I told him the same thing. I said, well, if there's 7, there's potential. If you hit the under, because if it's 6.5 and you hit 6, I'm kind of in that boat of, oh, here we go again type mode.
Yeah. To me, like, I just don't – having a quarterback like Byron Brown, if you can't win but 6 games, it would be – that'd be very disappointing. And I think –
yeah, because he's 1 and done. So you got to start over next year.
Yeah, and I don't think Golish – expects to win less than, you know, 7 or 8 games this first year either. Look, there, we mentioned it, you know, you've gone this far until you had kind of an aha moment. And we'll, I tell you what, let's jump into why. Let's talk about what the aha moment means. Okay. And let's talk about what that could mean towards this win total. And we, that way you can kind of gauge expectations. Let's do that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are. Golish says it best. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you say you're part of the Auburn family and you love the Auburn family, then do business with Auburn people. We got a professional network. It's got everything from deer feed to golden retriever retriever training, insurance. Heck, I tell you what, you even have a lawyer, an attorney, a defense attorney for students that may have some issues with the law. Like we even have that there. So go to buyauburn.com, find you a business to work with, or if you are a business, sign up today for less than a dollar a day. You can advertise to the whole Barn Podcast Network. And then aushirts.com, check out all our new gear, Boog hats, Auburn hats, all kind of stuff flying off the shelf. Check it out, aushirts.com. Okay, Ben, right before we got on, right before we went to break, we're talking about expectations and, and stuff like that, and what to expect out of the offense and all that good stuff. Okay, so today, Golish mentioned, and he said it specifically, he talked about an aha moment. And basically what it sounded like is there's a lot of things that they've been preaching that you can't really get into until you get into a game scenario, like why you use tempo and why you do the things you the way you do. Because today there were times when you're running tempo and the drives are moving and you get to see the defense start reacting in a negative way. Like you get to see a guy who may be tired. You get to see, hey, they're going into a base shell because we're going so fast. Aha, okay, now we kind of got them where we want them. And I think that was huge to hear as far as the offense taking a next step, because I'm going to be honest, up until then, it's been bad. Like the news coming out of the offensive side has been not good, like at all. Like they can't get anything going, like can't get anything done. So my expectations were starting to really dwindle as far as offense goes. And then you hear something like this and maybe there's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Do you put much stock into that? Scrimmage two before A-Day or and we'll talk about A-Day in just a minute too. Do you put much stock in that? Does that make you – do you feel the same or different after hearing something like that?
No, I definitely feel better about it because I think it takes, like, it's funny that he used that aha moment. You know, you always talk about when athletes see when it clicks or when the game, quote unquote, slows down for them.
He mentioned, he said that too, like that specific thing. Yeah, slows down. Everything's slowing down.
That's the thing is when it, you know, they're throwing so much at them right now. When they get to the point where it all becomes second nature and it's slow, like, it, you know, they've been drinking through a fire hose for the last so many weeks, three, four, 5 weeks. And so now, like you said, when they see the fruits of their labor, you know, when you see the defense break down or when you're able to now find that open man and you you know, a back hits a hole that they've been telling him has been there the entire time, but he just hasn't seen it. And, you know, that quote unquote, that aha moment. When the game starts slowing down, but you're still fast. I mean, I think that's a step in the right direction. I mean, I'm not one to sit there and go, okay, now we're where we need. No, we're not where we need to be, but I think that it's good. Let me tell you the best part about that, Kyle. It's good that they had that moment now, not during offseason workouts. Like as you start to end the spring, this is something to build off of to go, hey, guys.
Give you some momentum.
Yes. This is where you were. This is when you figured it out. Now you got to perfect it.
You know something? He said something else that was kind of crazy to think about, Ben. He said, they were talking about Byron Brown, and he said, I've coached for a long time, and I've never had this happen before. He said, we literally have not only our whole offense installed, but we have, like, all of the checks installed too, like already. He's like, Byron just knows everything. He's like, so like, we're literally going to end spring with like our full, like not a 50% or 60% of our offense. Like it's all installed up to the point where we have our checks because the defense has been throwing so much at us, like we had to go ahead and have our checks put in as well. And that's why you don't make things easy. That's right. Why you don't tell people to take it easy on us. You make it as hard as possible, because now you could walk into – you're going to walk in day one practice, and it's going to be like you're already game planning for Baylor. Yes. Like day one, instead of still learning depth charts and like I said, installing, you can go ahead and be watching film on Baylor, and then when you get that first practice going, you're basically game planning you're game planning for Baylor. So I thought that was really interesting. So that coupled with – the light maybe starting to click a little bit, coupled yeah. with there's still a few offensive line injuries that have to get better, mm-hmm. and you're still able to do it with like a, you know, shuffling dudes around. We needed that today.
Yeah.
I think the offense needed that today.
And big picture, with him saying that we're where we need to be, like as far as, nothing more to install, like we got everything we need right now.
Yeah.
Over the summer, over the film study they're going to be doing, knowing that Brown has already got all that down, big picture is his backup sitting in the room with him, Kyle, he can walk them through that and say, this is what you need to be looking for here. This is what your expectation needs to be here. This is what you're going to do in this scenario. And because it puts another coach on the field that he doesn't have to – he's not still – Kyle, think about this. We were told by Freeze that we had offensive players still learning in week three and week four. Now we're being told we got guys that know what the checks are and know where we are offensively before we get out of spring.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make it a Golish versus Freeze thing. I'm just saying when you've had a guy under you.
It's different.
It is. And when you've had a guy like Brown under you the last couple of years that's thrown for 3,000 yards that we talked about, it's easy for them to address that in a meeting room. And
yeah,
whereas, you know, they were shuffling quarterbacks and begging quarterbacks to stay before and talking to NIL, and this is why I also wish kids would be patient, because when you see stuff like this, when an offense has been installed before the end of spring, there's not a lot of teams around the country that can say that right now.
Agree. Let's switch gears, talk about A-Day. He was asked today about the A-Day format. And we did this once that I know of for sure this way. And it was a point system of all offense versus defense. Okay, so
yep. He
said, first of all, there's like five or six guys that have coming off of end-of-season surgeries. And a couple of them, they were like season-ending surgeries last year. So there's like five or six guys that aren't going to participate already. You know, okay. The guys like Jonathan Echols and DeMarcus Riddick and Stanton Ramil,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. The same ones we've been talking about all spring.
Yeah.
And then he said there's a lot of guys that have like, you know, he called it like soft tissue issues. Like there may be a bruised hammy, or there may be an ankle or something like that where – They held some guys out of the scrimmage today. Like I know they held out Rashawn Pleasant. They held out Sylvester Smith. They held out who else was it? Caleb Harris. There was a couple of guys they held out. So he just felt like they wouldn't be able to really split up and do team on team. He said that would probably be way more fun for the people in attendance and for the guys. But instead, it's going to be offense versus defense. Offense is going to be blue. Defense is going to be white. And there are going to be points based off of like achievements, I guess, like achievements unlocked. So make a long story short, like, offense gets a first down. It could be, you know, a point. Offense scores a touchdown. It could be 6 points. You know, offense, explosive plays, things like that. Like you get points for certain achievements. And then the flip side on the defense, three and outs, tackles for loss.
Sacks,
obviously, interceptions, any turnover.
Deflections, probably.
Yeah, so it's going to be a point system based off of, like, achievements on the field. And with it being offense and defense, like, I think it could still be fun. You know, you're not going to have full contact on Brown, which I don't want full contact on him, I don't think.
No.
But for the most part, everybody else is going to be. So you'll get to see some running backs pound some runs. You'll get to see some big plays, hopefully, from the wide receivers. And then you'll get to see the defense make some plays because the defense is good.
Yeah.
I got news for you. I think he said – I can't remember the exact term, but he said something about the interior offensive line. He said interior defensive line. He said something about their pests or their annoying, or he said something to the tune of that the interior defensive line has been giving them fits. So so it'll be a fun matchup, regardless.
I like the point system. You're right. We have done this before. There's some people don't like it. And the reason I like it is because you can do ones on ones, and instead of splitting the teams up, and so you know now. That as far ahead as the defense is over the offense right now, we may not enjoy the ones on ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
There may be a lot of defensive points put up, you know what I mean? On tackles for loss as well
three
as
deflections
and three and outs and that kind of thing. And so but I still I like this because it's ones on ones instead of, you know, you may have a guy that's probably a one, but would be playing on the other side of the ball because they paired him with maybe a couple of twos around him, so make him look better. So at least the first part of practice, I think, will look – or the first part of A-Day in the scrimmage will look actually full speed. Like you said, no Brown, which somebody asked me, they said, would it be okay to, like, touch? I said, I don't want him touched. I said, the thing is, the problem I got with Brown, number one, I don't want him going down, but number two, if you watch his film, he likes to initiate contact. And you just got to wonder if he gets around the edge, instead of them touching him, he lowers the shoulder to try to make a point or to get his team riled up. So I don't want him touching him because I don't want to give him the opportunity for the adrenaline to kick in and him do something stupid.
That's what Gola said. That's when he's most comfortable, when he's making plays with his feet. So, yeah, I'm with you. I just want everybody to be healthy. I want to see the offense put up some, you know, some fun plays, make some things happen, and then obviously defense is going to get there. So can the offense hang? That'll be the funnest thing to watch. We'll see. We got a lot to talk about between now and then.
Kyle, I got one request.
What's that?
For the fans.
What's that?
Don't freak out. It's just spring practice.
Impossible.
That'll
never happen.
I mean, even if the offense goes out and starts clicking on all cylinders, don't freak out the other way either.
Everything you just said, complete waste of time. And oxygen, you could have saved that and added life to the you could have added minutes onto your life.
But the thing is, if I say it enough times, Kyle, because when they say repetition, if I keep saying it, somebody's got to listen.
Nobody will. There's not a single soul out there that's going to listen.
Listen, I don't know if I'd listen to myself. If he goes out and he throws up seven explosive plays and we score six touchdowns after it, that's it. I'm hanging the Heisman.
$1,000 on the Heisman.
Yep, I am. Yep, there's no doubt. I am putting the farm. Yep. I'm contacting Vegas the next day.
We should go. We'll go to Vegas. We don't even have to anymore. We'll go to Biloxi. We can go put a sports bet down in Biloxi. So
no, it's worth. It's such a solid bet. It'd be worth just flying to Vegas.
Where's the national championship being played this year? Guys, y'all have a great day. We'll talk again soon. We out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.